Next week it'll be Christmas messages and so on, but I really wanted to get a message to build on last week's. What did I share on last week? Anyone remember last week? Or have you done so much Christmas shopping you can't remember anything from last week? Here, Louise, yes, thank you. You remember better than me. How vision empowers you. And you need vision. We all need vision in these days for what God is doing. We don't want to just drift through life. God wants to envision us with his plan and purpose for us individually, for us as a church, and for us together with other churches, that Newbury will be a crossroads of revival. Amen? A place where people come from other places to meet with Jesus. Amen? And so this week I want to speak on the essential of faith. And I'm going to read the scripture. I'm so glad we got the scriptures up there, because sometimes it's hard for people to actually believe some of the things that are in the Bible. But I want everyone to say this: without faith, it is impossible to please him. Amen. We're just focusing on that. The elder brother served in the house. He said to his father, "I've served you all these years, but you never gave me even the goat to celebrate with my friends." He was dutifully serving, but there was no faith behind it. Amen? And we want to encourage in this church faithful service. Amen? Someone says, "Oh, I come to church when I feel like it." Well, if I was like that, you know, I want to come every week anyway, but, you know, it's sort of this floaty thing we've got now. When I feel like it, I'll do this. When I feel like it, I'll do that. Listen, and there's a sense in which we need to get into a rhythm of serving Jesus. Amen? The warm space, we come and we're getting so many people, we had to move it out of the Tudor Hall back into this hall because we were it was getting crowded in that hall. Isn't that wonderful? But God wants everything. The Bible says you can be burnt at the stake, but if you have not love, you're nothing. You can have faith that prophesies mysteries, but if you have not love, you're nothing. You can speak to mountains to be moved, but if you have not love, you're nothing. But I would also say this: if you are not doing what you're doing in faith, it's not pleasing to God. You mean all those years? You mean everything I've done doesn't please God? You know, where we go on holiday, the island nearby in Greece, people crawl on their hands and knees, so their blood literally coming off their knees to some statue. But let me tell you, it doesn't please God in the slightest. It doesn't make them any worse or better. It does nothing. The whole foundation of the Protestant Reformation was when Luther got hold of the scripture, "The just shall live by faith." So everything I do, I need to be exercising faith. I heard some pastors say, they never change, no matter what I say. That's so sad. They're not exercising faith. Hello? In fact, there's one church leader, and he says, "I've done all the courses with them. I've done all these things with the church I'm pastoring, and they're still not doing it." And then God spoke to him and said this: "The problem is you." He said, no, "I've done all the courses and they still haven't done it." And do you know what God said to him? He said, "The problem is you, because you don't in your heart believe that they can do it." Ouch. You're not doing it in faith. Amen? Have faith for your children. Oh, my kids are all rebellious. Stop saying that. And start praying for them. And get hold of what God says about them. Amen? Oh, it's going really quiet this morning. It's this lovely Baptist church. No. Start speaking over them. I'm so encouraged in our family. You know, Silas loves his boonga boonga boongy music. And I'm like, oh, Lord, I just can't cope with this. So I'm driving him to the football. He says, Dad, your music's boring. Can we put on some of my music? But now, you know, he's playing all the boongy boongy Christian music. Hallelujah. And I can't complain anymore. Jesus is a boom, 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 boom. And I'm like, wow, Silas, this is great. And now he's playing music upstairs and it's too loud, but it's worship music. And I'm like, oh, okay, turn it up. I must be the only father of a teenager knocks on the door. Could you play it louder, please? God, whoever comes to God must believe he exists, and he rewards those who what? Seek him. Someone said, well, I haven't got time to pray. I'm so busy. You don't believe that. Because when you really believe that, you will want to seek him. And let me tell you, he rewards those who seek him. Prayer is not a chore. Prayer is not an ordeal. Prayer is a delight. One of the prophecies that a lot of churches need to receive, it says in Isaiah, I will make them joyful in my house of prayer. Amen? Because they're receiving answers. Because they're seeing God move like Pharaoh Maddy. I don't know if you still have your book of answered prayer. Is it up to date or have you given up on it? Yeah, well, wonderful. And it's full of prayer, answer, prayer, answer. If you want to get answered prayer, that's the life group for you, okay? They get you what you, whatever. Yeah, I've just doubled your life group. But do you believe that? You know, some people say, well, I just pray and mumble a few things and might say, thank you, Jesus. No, he is a rewarder. And, you know, while I was away on this prayer retreat 2 or 3 weeks back, God met with me. And it was like God did something so in my heart. And he is a rewarder. I came back fire, full of fresh fire. Amen? And it just begun to change so many things. It hasn't changed Brentford. They just need, I've obviously got to fast and pray for them, but you know, everything else has been going, just changing. I'm just seeing change. And there was a little thing on the last day of the prayer retreat, and it was a silly little thing, but God answered a little prayer about something very personal to me, and it came through on the last day of that time away. And it was like God said, I've heard your cry, and I know the big things, and I know the little things. Just say that out loud. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's, I think, another version. He expects all his children to live by faith. The just, not on Sundays, not just at the prayer meeting, every day. We had that in the prayer meeting this morning. Every day, he expects you to exercise faith. Some Christians are like submarines. They come up, they go down on Monday, they come up on Sunday morning, and then they go back down. God wants you to follow. Christy, what you did was take Jesus into your office. Amen. Exercise faith for where you work. Hallelujah. You know, even my, you know, if the Hindus bless them when we're in London, you walk into the corner shop, there'd be You could smell the incense, because before they start the day, they ask for the favor of the gods. Well, you know, I don't believe in those gods. But I think if they do it for that, to some God that doesn't really exist, how much more should believers be going in to their place of work? Lord, John is depressed. Lord, give me an opportunity to bless John. Amen? I mean, we've got social workers here. Everyone's depressed. You just go in and just carry the joy of the Lord in. Amen? And carry the love of Jesus, and someone, one of your colleagues is, I can't do, these people, they want to kill me, da, da, da. Just bless them. Amen? But you need to move by faith in everything you do. Sometimes we used to think, when I was growing, with a young Christian, we thought people that live by faith don't get paid anything and they're always sending begging letters and you have to give them little brown paper envelopes. No, every one of us is called to live by faith. Every one of us, every day. Without faith, you're not going to please Jesus. Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? He's looking for faith in his people. People put the rapture somewhere in different places on that, but Jesus is looking for faith. Listen, I'm doing the bad stuff first, okay? You'll be happy by the end of this message, okay? Take care, brothers. Take care. In other words, it can happen to you. It's happened to many friends of mine. Many friends of mine that saw God do many great things, but somewhere down the line they went from faith into unbelief and they lost their way in God. Lest there be in any of you an evil. Ooh, can you believe that? Is that a bit strong? Unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. He's a living God. Don't hear that sin pointed out too much, do we? You know, if I was to say God wants you to repent of immorality or repent of, you know, anger or whatever it is, we'd be going, yeah, I need to repent. But unbelief, well, that's acceptable. You know, I heard Christians go, I'm just a worm. I'm just a nothing. I'm just a nobody. Listen, you need to repent. Because you're denying the redemption of Jesus on the cross. Amen? You're pushing away the blessing that God died to give you. You're not a nothing. You're a child of God. I'm with the royal family today. You're a child of God. You are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Amen. You have been cleansed by that blood. You have access into the most holy place through the blood of Jesus. Start saying and confessing what God says about you, not what your emotions may say about you. True humility is, I don't feel it. I don't always, and my brain doesn't always compute it. But if you say it, I believe it, and I'm going to declare it. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Get rid of unbelief. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Speak out what he says about you. But you don't know the disappointment I've had. I've had lots of disappointment. You don't know all the things that I thought would go well, didn't go well. I don't. But I've been round the block a few times too. Hello? I've had things that I thought were going to happen that didn't happen when I thought they were going to happen. You see, God wants to give you faith. Maybe you feel at this time you're reaching out in a place of loss. You're reaching out in a place of disappointment. You're reaching out in a place where things have not turned out as you hoped they would turn out. But God today wants to give you faith. When Abraham, things went a bit awry in the early part of Abraham's calling to leave his household and his relatives. It says, you know, there was an argument between the herdsmen of Lot and the herdsmen of Abraham. Do you know, Lot was not meant to have come on the trip. It's his uncle or nephew or whatever. He brought him along and God said, no, you're meant to have left everything. And so they come to that place and Abraham, being a man of faith, said to Lot, have the whatever you want. And Lot took the best land. And Abraham, as he was then, must have been in that place of disappointment. They'd had their first church split. I remember when I first joined the charismatic movement, I thought everyone loves each other so much. We're just going to love each other till we go to heaven. Well, 2 years later, a whole group of people split off from this church. And I thought, but I thought we really loved each other. I was just a young little believer. And I thought, it doesn't work. Okay. And in that place of heartache, and some of you might be in that place of, I didn't see it like I thought it would be. In a place of brokenness. I've been in a place of brokenness about so much about the wider church and how mighty ministries have just crashed in recent days. This side of the Atlantic and the other side. And just like, oh God, when are you going to bring that revival that we've been yearning for? And actually, God's been speaking to me. There was an article and I've lost it. I can't find it anywhere. But it said this, the revival no one wanted. Because God will deal with the house of God first. He'll bring it all into the light. And if you're going, yeah, get them. Well, just make sure your own heart is where it's meant to be. Paul says, I judge myself lest I be judged. You've got a time. Sort it out. Well, I can't stand that, brother. Blah, 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 blah. Sort it out. Forgive them. Bless them. Send them a Christmas present. I've told you the story of someone when I worked in Notting Hill Gate and I fell out with him. And one day he said, what's your shoe size? And I said, what? Why do you want that? I gave him my shoe size. Next service, he went down Kensington High Street, got the best leather shoes. They'd be worth £300 or £400 now. And said, here you are. And I go, oh, I know what you're doing. You're loving your enemy. Oh no, the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Oh, and we've become great friends and we've been friends ever since. It's the best. I've never had a pair of shoes like it before or since. It was just a reminder, Phil. You don't judge others. You love them and you pray for them. But in that place of brokenness, God said to Abraham, lift up your eyes. Here's some vision. You want some teaching on vision? Look north, look south, look east, look west. For all the land you can see, I will give to you. Some of you this Christmas time, you've been through a lot. Remember Nigel saying yesterday, we've had a lot of bereavements this year. We've had a lot of challenges this year, physically, a lot of us. It's time. Listen, a lot of people are down. They look down. God's telling you, look up. Amen. Look up to him. Look up. I look to the hills from whence cometh my help. Look north, south. In other words, let the vision of God consume you again. While I was away, God rekindled the vision of many areas in my life that I had let go of. And he said, I'm going to do it. Ash, I remember you coming back, and the other week you said, restoration. It's the time of restoration. He restores my soul. Amen. And saints, whatever you've been through this year, look up and let him fill you with vision for your family, for the destiny of your life. Let me tell you, God is not going to change your circumstances. He's going to change you in the circumstances. And as you receive what God wants, he will change your circumstances. Do you get that? It begins in you. He can change Waitrose. Hallelujah. Could he bring the prices down a bit? I'm an Aldi man, you know. Look up. And out of that place of brokenness, Abraham received fresh vision of all the land he was going to receive. And God said, as much as the dust is on the earth, that's going to be your offspring. Isn't that beautiful? Here's a verse Louise reminded me of this week. Whatever does not proceed from faith is... Ha! You sinners. No, I don't. We need to start to exercise faith. I love Roy Godwin's story. There he is, leading a Christian retreat, and some of us have been there, up a hill at the end of a long road, on top of the hill, and he says, Lord, I'm enjoying leading a retreat, but I really do still want to lead people to Jesus. And can you imagine that? In the middle of nowhere, all you surrounded by sheep and Christians coming on retreat. And I think next morning, or pretty soon after, the doorbell goes at 5 o'clock in the morning. Opens the door. Guy goes, oh, great, you're here. I need to know Jesus. So he leads him to Jesus. And then the next day, 5 o'clock in the morning, someone knocks on the door. They obviously get up early in Wales. And he led them to Jesus. And then there's someone else to Jesus. And then he said, Lord, could they come a bit later, please? But you see, even in an isolated place, he was exercising faith. Lord, today I want to be a tool to bring people to faith in Jesus. Hallelujah. Ask God for divine appointments. Today I want to share about you somewhere. You might be on a computer, but you just never know. I remember putting things on Facebook about my faith in the early days, and I had people who were friends. I've got Muslim friends. I've got all these people who met me on met us on a holiday, and they go, oh, I thought there was something different about you. And then I start telling people about Jesus. God can even use Facebook. I can't believe it myself, but, you know. Listen. Live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Not just the missionaries. Not just Rachel. You had a divine appointment in a car showroom, didn't you? Hallelujah. And I don't know what it is. Maybe, Andy, as you post those letters, bless each house. Saturate Kingsclear in the blessing of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Right. You have faith without works is what? Dead. Some people, I remember one person saying, oh, I'm believing God that I'm going to go to Lebanon and share about Jesus. And I've been about, at that stage, about 14 times. And they kept saying it and saying it. And it wasn't like they were waiting on God's timing. It was just a thing they said. And I said, hey, there's 2 flights a day out of Heathrow into Lebanon. Which one should we put you on? Oh, 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 oh. sometimes you're just going to have to get out of the boat. Sometimes you're praying and praying and praying, but let me tell you, your prayers can be dead unless you start to put legs on them. Now, I know the story of someone, a friend of mine, prayed 14 years for Brazil, and then finally a door opened and he saw a major move of the Holy Spirit. I know there's a time of waiting, okay? But Bartimaeus exercised faith. And for us to really get hold of God in our prayer life, in our walk with Him, it's time to start exercising. Amen? And it said he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was coming his way. And he began to what? Go, Lord, would you please send Jesus to come and pray for me? Did he do that? No. Listen, there's a tenacity of faith. Are you tenacious? Are you a bronze medal person? Or are you going to go for gold? You have to get that steel in your spirit. You know, John Knox used to pray, give me Scotland or I die. Can you feel that? He didn't want to live unless the move of God broke into Scotland. And God answered his prayer. Sometimes we're too comfortable, too settled. And Bartimaeus cried out. And he actually gave Jesus a messianic title. He acknowledged him as the Son of God because the Messiah was going to be called Son of David. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And then the other Christians around him said, please don't become too fanatical. You're disrupting things. You're disrupting the prayer meeting. We pray nice and gently here. He didn't get much support, did he? Be quiet. But there is something in Bartimaeus that said, this is my opportunity. This is my time. And what did he do? He cried out all the more. Amen? I love that. He's saying, I'm not going to take that. And this is like Jacob. I will not let you go until you bless me. I'm not going to let go of you, Jesus, until I receive what you have promised me in my life. Sometimes we're too passive. Some Christians are like, well, if the Lord wants to come and minister to me, he knows my phone number and he knows my address. Can I say this? If Bartimaeus hadn't cried out that cry of faith, Jesus would have just walked by. That's the truth. I know people don't want to hear that. He responded to faith. And Jesus stood there. Isn't it good? Faith gets God's attention. Smith Wigglesworth said, God will pass over thousands of people till he finds a man or woman of faith. He's looking for faith in us. So many dooms and gloom. Oh, everything's going to get worse. No, everything might get, there might be, the shaking will happen. Bad things will happen, but we're going to rise and shine and we're going to reflect Jesus to the nations like never before in these last days. Amen? Amen. That's what I focus on. And Jesus stood still. Isn't that amazing? And he called him. And the others said, oh, you lucky thing, you. Wasn't luck, it was faith. They called him saying, be of good cheer. He's calling you. Let me tell you, the first thing he did when Jesus called him, he wore a cloak and they were licensed to beg so that they weren't fraudulent. The priest had to, they had to get that cloak. That was a beggar's cloak that allowed him to be a beggar legally. And what did he do? He threw it off before his eyes were healed. Wow. In other words, he said, I don't need to beg anymore. I know Jesus is going to touch me. And Jesus said to him, amazed what Jesus said. What do you want me to do for you? You know, when God asks a question, it's not because he doesn't know the answer. He knows what he wants. But what did he want Bartimaeus to do? To verbalize what he was believing Jesus for. You know, I sometimes hear people pray, Lord, bless us. Yeah, we believe in blessing, but what exactly do you want him to do? Amen? Lord, I want to see revival in my day. Amen? Be specific. He said, Rabbi, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith, amen, has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Bartimaeus did not just sit passively by the roadside. Bartimaeus cried out with all that he had. Even when he was told to shut up, he cried out and received what he was wanting, what he was needing from Jesus. Amen. And I believe that God is calling us in these days. He is shaking every nation. He's going to shake everything that can be shaken. The only thing that can't be shaken is the kingdom of God. And that kingdom, Jane, is in you. Hallelujah. But he's calling us to be hungry. We're going to give some time in the beginning of this new year to prayer. Week of prayer. Or maybe we should just do the whole year of prayer. Well, we will do the whole year of prayer. But, you know, just really press into God. He's waiting for faith, work to be added to faith. Amen? Bartimaeus was not passive. He cried out, hallelujah. You know, it says of the spies that they gave an evil report. And these guys were actually leaders of Israel. Moses chose 12 leaders to go into the land and bring back a report on how they can take the land. And only Joshua and Caleb came back with a good report. The others said, oh, they're too many for us. Oh, they're too many giants. We're just grasshoppers. And they believe, sadly, they believe that report. Can I just say this? Almost, there's so many people slamming men and women of faith. YouTube clips, this, that, and the other. And people that don't even believe the gifts of the Spirit exist today are giving a report that means people go, oh, there's no such thing as healing. Oh, there's no such thing as praying in tongues. There's no such thing as... And they're believing reports because these guys seem to be leaders. These 10 spies were leaders. But you need to choose what you believe from the Word of God. Amen. And I'm believing for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that we are well able to possess the land. A promise. Amen. And I'm going to die in some wilderness eating bread. I want to go in to all that God has for us. And listen, you may say, well, I've done a lot of good things in my life. I believe God for a lot of things. Let me tell you, keep believing for new things. Amen. George Jeffries was old, really conked out, could barely get himself down the stairs. He'd filled the biggest auditoriums in the UK, and you'd think that that was kind of the end of the road for him because he had little strength left. And a young guy in his late teens knocked on his door and said, "Is this where Reinhard Bonnke lives?" No, I got it wrong. I've given it away. "Is this where George Jeffreys lived?" And George, the lady said, "No, you can't come in." And this voice from up the stairs said, "Let him in." And George hobbled down the stairs. And this young teenager, upper teens, came in and said, "Please tell me about what God does on these shared." And then he literally got Reinhard, pulled him on the floor on his knees, and for half an hour he blessed him. What Reinhard achieved in his life was massively eclipsed by the millions that Reinhard Bonnke preached to. Hallelujah. And Reinhard got the boat back to Germany. He got back and his dad said, "Have you heard George Jeffreys died?" He was the last person he prayed for with all likelihood. Even in your last breath, you can be a blessing. You can die in faith. If you go up to Oxford and you go to Broad Street, in the middle of the road, there's a cross on the ground. And that's where Latimer and Cramer were burnt at the stake for their faith. And while Latimer was burning in the flames, he said to Cramer, "Don't worry, my brother. We will light a fire in this nation that will never go out this day. The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church." He made a prophetic declaration with his last breath. And I believe God will honor that. The light will not go out in this nation. Amen. Punter Church is a bit of a mess, but he's going to have his witness. See, even with your last breath, Jake, you know, Isaac blessed in his last breath. Even he can use you right through to the very end. Amen. Be a man and woman of faith. Die in faith. Believe God in faith. I'm going to land this soon. Looking unto Jesus. Faith is not a man-made thing. Sometimes we're trying to hype up faith. Jesus is what? The author and the finisher of your faith. Faith comes by hearing. Just let that, you've got to hear. And hearing by the word of God, the Rhema of God. God spoke to me while I was away. Fresh words that rekindled faith in areas where I was not exercising faith before. Hallelujah. And that thing he did on the last day of my prayer retreat was a confirmation. He's doing a new thing. It's a day of new beginnings. And whatever disappointments you've been through, whatever heartache you've been through, it's time to look up. It's time to let the vision of the promised land fill your whole being. To have vision, to know his word. Can I just say, even Jesus lived in faith. He died in faith. It says, who for the what? Joy set before him. He didn't hang on the cross going, "I hope this works." He died on that cross and he saw Bola and Ola. Hallelujah. And all the God's people from every tribe and tongue and nation, he saw us all as he in his the eye of his heart. He was not looking at the pain, he was looking at you and me, the game. He died believing, "Now as my blood is shed, I am going to purchase men and women from every tribe. Even the Romanians are coming in." Hallelujah. No, I'm not even. I'm joking. That's why I don't go to a nation where they say, "Oh, this is a something nation." No, it's a nation Jesus died for. Amen. I don't write any nations off. That's the communist nation. No, it's the nation Jesus shed his blood for. Get your vocabulary right. And he says he despised the shame. The cross was the most shameful death. Even today, we don't portray it because of the shame of it in the way it actually was. But let me tell you, he was dying knowing men and women from every tribe, tongue and nation are going to be saved because of what I'm doing on this cross. Amen? Okay. Listen. Keep listening. I'm landing it in a moment. Today, that means today, the 10th of December. Darren, today, if you hear his voice, some people might go home today and go, oh, Phil was really, I wish he'd just say something nice to us, you know. Today, just say today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart in rebellion. Oh, yeah, another message on faith. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, Moses wittering on about the promised land. Yeah, yeah. Well, can't he just get us something good to eat rather than this manna? Today, don't harden your heart. I love that term. When Mary heard the voice from the angel, she said, let it be to me according to your word. She yielded. I mean, imagine getting a word that you, a virgin, are going to have a son. I mean, that's what you call out there. Don't harden your hearts. In the day of trial in the wilderness, they tested me. They saw my works for 40 years, but they did not. They did not move in faith. They kept moaning and groaning. And they're not going to enter my rest. And that's where that verse is, the evil heart of unbelief. I want to be someone. I remember being a teenager and God said, you'll go to the nations. And I was in a little house church with 25 people in. I thought, what are you talking about? But he did it. Amen. And now we have the nations here. Hallelujah. Shamba halamba. I have Veronica's beautiful Indonesian cuisine every now and again. Don't come under pressure, Veronica. And only under conviction. Don't harden your heart. Oh, I've heard that before. Sometimes you've heard so much. It's time to hear, not just hear. Amen. Don't shrink back. The just shall live by faith. If anyone shrinks back or draws back, I'm not pleased. It doesn't bring pleasure to God. Faith without works is dead. I would say works without faith is dead. I've been doing this for years. Yeah? Now it's time to put prayer and faith and do it by faith. Amen? As I was praying for this morning, saying, God, touch your people. Bring fresh faith into their life. Amen? Hallelujah. Repent of dead works. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith towards God. That's a foundation. You see, these Hebrews, they were no longer going into the temple, seeing the priest go in behind the curtain, and they're thinking, we should be doing that. But no, it's a new covenant now. You don't need to do it anymore. Blood has been shed, and it's on an eternal altar. You don't need to do the old things. I'm going to end with a story. I saw this the other day. It means a lot to me. When Carrie and I first got married 26 years ago, feels like yesterday, and we went on honeymoon in Turkey, which is a predominantly Muslim nation. There's some wonderful believers there too. And at the end of our trip, we had our rep come and see us. And she saw my Bible. In those days, the Bible wasn't in one of these things. It actually was, you know, one that rustles, you know. She said, "Oh, you Christians?" Yeah. I'm a pastor. Carrie wasn't ordained then. So she said, "Yeah, I'm a Christian." And she goes, "Do you know, I'm a believer too." And I thought, wow, what on earth is this? And she said, I was in London at Lord's Cricket Ground as a Muslim, and I heard these two people in the cricket match talking about their faith in Jesus. So I went up to them and said, "I'm just a little Muslim girl. Could you tell me who Jesus is?" And they told me who Jesus is, and I became a Christian. And now I go to a church in Izmir, which is just up the coast. I thought, what are the chances of that? Turkey is under 0.something% are evangelical Christians. And at the end of our honeymoon, I gave her all the Christian books that I took. And you know what? She gave us this as a little gift. And it was like God was saying, you know, you're going to go to the Muslim people. And I hadn't gone to Lebanon, I hadn't gone to Egypt or any of these countries. You're going to go to the Muslim people. And, you know, from that day, every time we've gone somewhere and there's like, well, not every time, but when I can remember, and God's blessed us, could be a little holiday, could be a little place we've gone, another country, and God moved, I pick up a little stone from that nation and I put it in here. And this reminds me of the blessing of God, of the times where I broke through in, and God gave me faith for really tough situations. And when I look at this, it's full of stones, and I remember the faithfulness of God. And it just means so much to me. Sometimes it's on a holiday, because, you know, you can get a breakthrough on holiday. Enid and Peter had loads of breakthroughs on holiday. You know, in the Old Testament, when they went into Promised Land, they made a pile of rocks to remind them of the blessing of God. When the old leaders of the Old Covenant, they built an altar and worshipped to remind them, that's where God met with me. And I just want to encourage you, in your walk of faith, either write it down or have something that reminds you, that's where God ministered. That's where you broke through. Because the lions and the bears will turn into the Goliaths, and the Goliaths will fall. And as I picked this up the other day, I realized, God, you've been so faithful. And you've spoken to me in days gone by, and you've blessed me. And you're speaking to me, even in this season, that the best is yet to come. Hallelujah. Saints, we cannot please God without faith. Works, faith without works is dead. Works without faith has never really come alive. In everything you do, do it in faith. Serving Jesus. Jane in the rainbow when the kids just pooed their pants and you've got to help. I do it for you, Lord. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Sorry, I waffled on, went on a little bit long. We have a short Christmas message next week at the Nativity. Emma, come back, would you? Can we do a goodness of God? Thank you, Jesus. Just speak with him. I just sense as I was sharing today that there will be people that God has been speaking to, and he's just getting all old prophetic words, old things that, God, you were once so stirred up about, and he's saying, I'm renewing, I'm breathing fresh life on that area. And Father, things that we may have given up on, things where we may have allowed it hopelessness and disappointment to trickle into our lives, Lord, have mercy on us. Forgive our unbelief. We want to repent of it. We want to live by faith. You say the just shall live by faith. And I pray all the different visions of being a witness in the village, the mums in that village will come, to being a blessing in the office, to being a blessing our neighbours, Lord, even those who came yesterday. Father, we're going to stand in the gap and ask you, Lord, let us bring more people to Jesus in these days. Lord, let us be enlarged. Let this building be packed to the rafters, Lord. I just feel, I remember Vaughan sharing, he's enlarging our heart. He's saying, push back the boundaries. You've put me in a box, but I'm much bigger than the box you put me in. Push back the boundaries. Stretch out the tent pegs. For this coming year, I am doing new things. Things be which he can do exceedingly, abundantly, more than you can ask or think or even imagine. That's the God we serve. Amen.